We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Of the show. It is fantastic to be here with you guys. Guys, I'm getting a lot of echo on the home front back there. Okay. Okay. I think we're good. Fantastic. Great to be here with you guys. Friday edition of the show. We roll on the show today, and we are absolutely positively jam-packed. You guys ready to have some fun? You ready to do this thing today?
I'm ready, man. Let's go.
Let us make this happen. Tim, welcome in. Shall we begin? Here's the thing. We've got a lot of stuff coming up on the show today. We've got Heisman Trophy winner Brent Beard coming your way in the very next segment to give us the latest. We've got some big announcements on college football that have already come down today. What does that mean for Clemson? What does that mean for South Carolina? So much to unpack there. We have our senior sports spotlight coming your way at 4 o'clock. Mary Esterak of Blue Ridge High School is today's senior sports spotlight nominee. And then at 4:40, John Harkes of the Greenville Triumph joins us as well. The Greenville Triumph are doing something really, really cool. Want to get the word out about that. Want to make you guys aware. Along the way, a lot of fun things to get to, including I have three controversial opinions that I haven't shared with you previously. I am going to share with you something about me that you might find somber that you definitely don't know about me, and that's coming up at 4:50 this afternoon. What is your favorite This Is SportsCenter commercial in the history of This Is SportsCenter commercials? That's coming your way at 3:50 and at 3:40. The athletes, Tim, if you could be thinking about this as well, brother, the athletes today that could rock multiple sports, much like Bo Jackson, much like Deion Sanders, who today would be capable of doing so in light of the revelation that some years ago Jerry Jones offered LeBron James a contract to play tight end for the Dallas Cowboys? Here's how you can be a part of what we're doing today. 1-844-477-3776. That number again is 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Simply start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. You can get to us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, at Mark Ryan on Air, at Tim. I do not know your Twitter, but if you have one,
I recently got one.
What is your Twitter?
Yeah, at T-Hulk18. You know, we went with the Hulk since my last name's Holcomb, so I figured I'd go T-Hulk18.
Beautiful. At T-Hulk18 for Tim. If you're following us, we will get to your tweets live and on the air. And as is always the case, you can email us, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All right. Without further ado, here we go. Folks, I don't know about you. I don't know what you guys were doing last night, but a friend of mine said, Mark, we have a national championship game from 2017, Clemson and Alabama. It is on television right now. And I said, oh, my gosh, that was now 3+ years ago. I need to see this. I need to see this again. And if you saw it like I did, what you noticed was, they had this kind of cool feature where they were on a Zoom call with Dabo and Chris Fowler and the Bear and Kirk Herbstreit, and you got to see all of their swanky pads in the background, which was really cool. But the game, man, isn't it weird how your memory sometimes plays tricks on you? I remember that game feeling like a shootout, and then rewatching it, it only became a shootout like in the last 6 or 7 minutes of the game, right? Like it was kind of nip and tuck. 14-7 at halftime is a low-scoring game. 17-7 late in the third quarter is a low-scoring game. And then Clemson's strategy started to pay dividends. They started to wear Alabama out. And Deshaun Watson, 420 yards passing, 36 for 56 completions, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions on the game, combined with 403 yards passing the year before against Alabama. Dude threw for 823 yards against Alabama in 2 years. And the Chicago Bears still thought that Mitchell Trubisky was the guy that you should take. I mean, playing Alabama is the closest thing to playing an NFL team, and Deshaun Watson freaking shredded them. There was zero doubt in my mind, that Deshaun Watson was going to be an outstanding pro. And I had to talk to people like Greg Cassell, famed people like Greg Cassell. When I was in Houston, we had him on the show. He said, there's no first-round quarterbacks in this year's draft class. Greg, there is Patrick Mahomes. There is Deshaun Watson. Greg.
Freezing cold take of the century right there.
Freezing cold take of the century. Absolutely, Tim. Point number two. Can I please get, I don't know about you guys, but can we all just agree that any team with 53 Hunter Renfros would be a championship-winning team? Can I get 53 Hunter freaking Renfros on the same team? For the love of all that is good and holy, I love that guy. You know, like, whatever, measurables. He's a little bit short on some of the measurables, literally, figuratively. He's a little bit short. But he makes the plays that you have to make when you need the plays to be made. You know, saving a touchdown after a fumble in the third quarter, making key plays, clinching the national championship with the catch right there at the end. And then what does Hunter Renfro do? What Hunter Renfro does in the most smooth, suave, slick maneuver of all time, casually flips the ball to the referee after he just won the national championship for Clemson. I love that guy. John Gruden loves that guy. Everybody that's affiliated with that guy loves that guy. And the fact that he looks a little bit goofy, the fact that he looks like the last guy you would pick in a pickup game, only enhances his story moving forward. Folks, I just love Hunter Renfro. But for every rainbow day, there is a rainy one, right? And here we go. Folks, undoubtedly, and your opinion on this is more than welcome, undoubtedly, Clemson was guilty of pass interference, offensive pass interference, multiple times in that game. We saw the touchdown in the third quarter, pick play. We saw the last touchdown, pick play. Mark, it's only offensive pass interference if they don't call it. True. And tip of the cap to Clemson for capitalizing on something they clearly were not calling in that football game. Nick Saban was livid. He was livid about it in the third quarter, and he was livid about it when the game ended. And, folks, that was offensive pass interference. I had somebody on Twitter to me last night say the following, and I hadn't previously considered this. He said, Mark, I've never understood why Alabama just didn't tackle all of their wide receivers as soon as the ball was snapped, and just take the flag and continue to take the flag and force Clemson either to run the football or to kick the field goal with no time on the clock. You can't end the game on a defensive penalty. But this person was saying to me, they knew what was coming. Clemson knew they were going to line up in man-to-man coverage, and they put pressure on the official to make the call. So Clemson fans will naturally say, Mark, that wasn't offensive pass interference, but I have the definition for offensive pass interference right in front of me here. Are you ready? I have the definition for offensive pass interference in college football. I have the definition for offensive pass interference in the NFL. You will find that they are very, very similar. What is offensive pass interference? A penalty called when an offensive player impedes a defender's ability to play pass defense. Would you say that completely running over the Alabama defender is impeding his ability to play defense? Yeah, I think so too. This can mean, the description continues, this can mean setting an illegal pick where an offensive player intentionally gets in the way of another player's defender. Pass interference is also called when an offensive receiver shoves the defender away from him prior to make a play on the ball. The other definition, offensive pass interference is called when an offensive player impedes a defender's ability to play pass defense. You know, here's how you run the pick play legally, folks. Here's how you do it legally. You just run your route. You run your route normally. If I am an official and I see anything that looks even slightly different than a normal running of a route by you, I throw the flag. Now, you remember that national championship winning play? Alabama slipped under the screen. They needed to go over the screen. They went under the screen, and Hunter Renfrow was wide open. Defender did as well as he could, but the receiver on the inside slot for Clemson had his forearms out and was mowing over the Alabama defender to create a commotion in the middle of the field, right? The wider commotion he makes, the more wide open Hunter Renfrow is going to be. Folks, I remember thinking that at the time. I still think that now. I'm not about to call Clemson a phony national championship in any way, shape, or form, but I am telling you that that was offensive pass interference, and I'm also telling you that Dabo Swinney was a freaking genius for running that play again because they ran it in the third quarter and it wasn't called. You dip your toe in the water, right? You dip your toe in the water. Are they calling this today? Are they not? Very, very low risk, high reward proposition for Dabo Swinney. I think Clemson was at the 2 or 3 yard line there at the end of the game. If they call pass interference, offensive pass interference, you move back to the 12 yard line, you kick a 29 yard field goal, you go to overtime. But if they don't call it, if they don't call it, then you have won the national championship. And why is Clemson a legitimate national champion? Because the refs saw it, you saw it, and they didn't make the call. They did not make the call, Tim. If you watch that the way I watch that, according to the textbook, Tim, that's offensive pass interference, brother.
But see, I want to disagree with you on this point. Yeah, granted, keep in mind, Clemson blinders, I understand. But looking at it, I mean, Artavis Scott, wasn't he kind of running his round? And didn't the defender initiate contact?
Artavis Scott had his forearms out and was trying to mow over the defender. Again, Tim, I watched it 10 times last night. Again, if I'm the official, you are allowed to run your normal route. If it looks like you are trying to make contact with a defender in some way, then it is offensive pass interference. That, my friends, was offensive pass interference. It wasn't called. It worked to the benefit of Clemson, and Clemson is the national champion. I'd like you guys to tell me, if you're Clemson fans, how Alabama was supposed to defend that play. What were they supposed to do? Okay, Alabama's a man-to-man team, and if you truck over the slot corner, Hunter Renfrow is going to be wide open. What was Alabama supposed to do exactly? You tell me. I can't figure it out for the life of me. You know, Clemson did something that the officials did not call, and it's okay to admit it. If you're a Clemson fan, it's okay to say, yeah, we got away with one. And actually, we got away with two. And they didn't call it either time. And according to the textbook definition of the letter of the law, you're guilty. You're guilty. And you're guilty twice if you are the Clemson Tigers. Sorry, Clemson fans. It is what it is, what it is. Admission is the first step toward recovery. I am Jerry Maguire. I'm holding up the goldfish, and I'm saying, who's coming with me? Who can admit, that's a Clemson fan, that you got away from one? That you got away from one. All right? There we go. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Just start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Tiger fan Clint is tweeting in on this. He says the first one with Leggett I agree with. However, the last one with Renfrow, the Bama DB, actually initiates contact. Yeah, because he got trucked the last time, okay, and grabs the Clemson wide receiver who was putting his forearms out into the Alabama defender. The Bama DB literally has his arms around him, pushing him down. How do you defend that play if you're Alabama? You tell me how they're supposed to defend that play. Okay.
Couldn't you switch with the corners? Like with the inside corner that was on Hunter, switch and go on Artavis. The other one takes Hunter.
The inside receiver was Hunter Renfro.
Right.
And the outside wide receiver is running a drag route over the middle, right? And they cross right in front of each other. The problem is the outside wide receiver has his arms out to truck the defensive back. You got to run your normal route there, man. Otherwise, it's offensive pass interference. So where are you on this, Clemson fans? Are we doing the silent act? Oh, well, we won the national championship. My take is it's okay to admit that they didn't make the call and you got away with one. What I will not accept under any pretenses is that you weren't the beneficiary of a call that, according to the rule book, should have been made. We are getting ready for Memorial Day weekend, a much-needed 3 days off for everyone affiliated. Tim, we really appreciate you being in today. Diesel and Lonzo got 4 days off. Don't worry. They will have to pay up for that. But it is always important to remember why we celebrate Memorial Day. I like to go back to one of my favorite quotes from General George S. Patton. And, Memorial Day in memoriam, remembering those who have lost their lives. George S. Patton, born November 11th, 1885, passed away December 21st, 1945. George S. Patton, when asked about the mourning of those who have lost their lives, said the following: "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived." Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? Like, to me, I latch on to that, and I say, with your family this weekend, safely enjoy the Memorial Day weekend. In my family, that's always meant brats, that's always meant beers, that's always meant barbecue, cheeseburgers, etc. And a little pool time. I hope that you get to do the same in your family. It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men ever lived. General George S. Patton. All right, coming up next on the show, did you hear this breaking news surrounding college football today? Very, very, very exciting stuff, and none other than a Heisman Trophy voter will join us next to tell us what it all means. This is Offsides with Mark and Tim right here on ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So what we're experiencing here right now is a bunch of Clemson fans in denial. Ladies and gentlemen, denial is not just a river in Egypt. The text line is blowing up, which I truly appreciate. You guys know I'll get to them. Mark, do you think you could get Lonzo to open the show with a country song once in a while? Normally I take you guys, your request seriously. I will try to ignore that request as much as possible. Where's Lonzo? Lonzo took the day off today. I'm a lifelong Clemson fan, and I'm not ashamed to say it was offensive pass interference, but it wasn't called, and I'll take it. That, my friends, that is a Clemson fan that I respect. He says it was a calculated risk by Dabo and staff, and it worked out. Yes, very, very much. That is the case. Another texter says, I can't imagine mentioning that play without mentioning the blatant targeting that Alabama was allowed to do. Oh, gosh. You know, this is what fans do. What about what they got away with, huh? What about, oh, no. You can always point to something and say the other team got away with this, we got away with that. That was the game-winning play, and it was offensive pass interference. Tim, yes, the defender tackled Artavis Scott. Wrong, Mark. Watch both of those plays. The Clemson player trucks into the Alabama player, and it's okay. What we're I'm not saying you're not the legitimate national champion. Okay? Realize I call the Clemson postgame, for crying out loud. What I am saying is it is okay to say that they evidently were not calling the pick play that game and you took advantage of it.
But, Mark.
According to the rule book, you got away with one.
Mark, I'm watching it right here on YouTube. Artavis Scott goes in, and the Alabama defender, I mean, pulls him aside to try to. It was not Artavis Scott that initiated that contact. That was the Alabama defender that was the one that was dragging him down.
There, a lot of things look differently when you slow it down 100% and try to pause it on a certain screen. But when you watch it live, it looks very, very differently. Lifelong Clemson fan, and I'm not ashamed to say, we got a break there. Thank you, Texter. Another texter says, if the defender had not taken Scott to the ground, it would have been an easy call to make. Calls are made in real time and then looked at slowly. That's when they saw the defender take down the wide receiver. A texter says, you are too easy sometimes, Mark. Listen, I am here to please, sir. I am here to please. Okay, joining us right now is a good friend of the show. You can see him on First Coast News in Jacksonville, Florida. And he is a Heisman Trophy voter. Brent Beard joins us right now on the line. Brent, far be it from me to rile up the Clemson fan base on an off-season Friday right before Memorial Day weekend, but I'm seeing here, Brent, that offensive pass interference in the rule book is defined as a penalty when an offensive player impedes a defender's ability to play pass defense. This can mean setting an illegal pick where an offensive player intentionally gets in the way of another player's defender. Is that not, Brent, precisely what happened? Not once, but twice in the national championship game 2017, Clemson against Alabama, and on both of those plays, Clemson scored touchdowns. Am I wrong?
Well, I will comment on that directly, but my text blowing up because women have found out that I was going to be on the show, and they know that in a few days is going to be your birthday. So I'm getting all these texts of, Brent, please tell Mark how much we love him, and could he please call me, and such as that. So I just want you to know that's going on at the same time as you're drawing the ire right now.
By the way, this is all – anything Brent said is just total lies and false propaganda, okay? Total lies. I believe none of this in any way, shape, or form.
I need to just forward all these to your producer and just let him deal with this.
And boy.
He can make fun of you accordingly.
Oh boy.
As that goes along. So happy birthday early,
thank
young
you,
man.
Pal. Thank you, pal. And, really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And to answer your question, do I think it was a pick play? Yes, I do. But I will also add to that is in watching these games for as long as we have. You're rarely going to get that called at that particular moment of the game. Let's be honest, and I'm not getting on officials here,
Brent,
Mark.
They did it in the third quarter. They did it in the third quarter too.
I agree. But on that last play of the game, as they say in basketball, they're going to let them play, and that's basically what they did. So, but I can tell you this: I was at that game. And we'll never forget what an incredible scenario and what an atmosphere that was as those two teams had the rematch. So, and listen, there, Mark, are so many plays in that game that if it goes the other way, Clemson at that point would have been trying just to get close instead of win the game. I still think Hunter Renfro made one of the greatest plays of the game. And not just catching the pass, but in preventing the run back.
Yes.
So we can pick a lot of plays in that game, can't we, brother?
No, there's no doubt about that. And I tweeted last night, Brent, can I just have an NFL team with 53 Hunter Renfros, please?
Yes.
I love that kid. You know, like, give me that guy 10 times out of 10. And the prototypical guy that the scouts look over, but he makes winning football plays for you the entire game. The entire game.
No question. And at the most opportune times, look, if you compared his stats with your drafted receivers, what you would see would be that there would be no comparison. But if you got down to the fact of when it was either a first down or a touchdown, when it really mattered, Hunter Renfro was up there. He was as good as anybody, wouldn't he, Mark?
Incredible. Incredible. You know, in that game alone, 10 receptions, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns for a player nobody wanted. For a player that on appearance alone, Brent, would be the last guy picked in any pickup game. Right?
True.
And 10 catches, 92 yards, led the team in catches, led the team in touchdowns in the most important game of his life. Phenomenal, phenomenal effort there. Okay, Brent, we've got some big-time news today in college football. We're hearing that the SEC is opening up facilities on June 8th for some sports to return. Can we get the full details from you about this?
Well, I think it's significant. We heard it was going to be either June 1 or June 15. And as the SEC does, right, Mark, they compromised and went for the 8th.
Yeah.
Did you find out that did you find the humor in that one?
Yeah, no, I certainly did. Yeah.
Yes. Phil Fulmer, with reports, did not want it on the 1st. He wanted it later. So, and again, what we've seen, and there may be others added to this, that South Carolina, LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, Florida, and A&M have said that they will have that 8th as their start date. Now, again, the league gives teams that start date. If they want to, some of the other schools want to stagger that a little bit, that's fine. And, again, I think we need to point out June 8th, they're not going to be on the field in pads running plays. It just means that they are going to be back. And for those of us, Mark, we really wondered what, 3 weeks to a month ago, if we would even come close to making that statement, right?
It's unbelievable, Brent, and I do think it's really interesting. I think this whole situation has spotlighted the leadership or lack thereof in every sport and every entity.
Yes.
What have we seen from the NFL? They've gotten things done. They have a plan. We had free agency. We had the draft. We announced the preseason. With college football, people are getting together. They're forming a consensus. With the NBA, very cautious in the NBA, but you had 25 of the best players in the game say unanimously to the commissioner, we want to play, let's figure this out, and that's what they're doing. And then baseball, Brent, I'm about done with that freaking sport. They can't get out of their own way at all. And you've got everybody saying something different. We're going to play. We're not going to play. Blake Snell, Cy Young Award-winning pitcher for the Rays. It apparently, Brent, is worth his time to play for $7 million and not worth his time to play for $3 million. So I have no faith whatsoever that we're going to have a baseball season right now.
Well, I agree with that. And look, you don't make that kind of statement when you've got people who are out of work and they don't know when they'll be back to work again and that they don't know what they can do for their families. And frankly, Mark, that this is one of the reasons why I think it's important for these players to be back on campus is because some of these guys are, and let's be honest, I mean, they're staying with families where the mother and the father may not be working right now, been laid off, and these kids aren't sleeping, they're not eating correctly, and they're certainly not working out. So the truth is, for a lot of these players, being on campus with nutrition, being able to work out, you've got the technology and the staff that these schools do to take care of them medically and otherwise. to be back at their colleges may be one of the safest places they could be.
I think that's beautifully stated, and I was thinking the exact same thing. Could if they're going to be living their lives regularly, and, you know, with a lot of these kids, Brent, that come from underprivileged backgrounds, you know, I saw Charles Barkley say this week that when he was growing up, he couldn't have social distance at a time like this, right? Like in his house that he lived in, there were too many people in under one roof, and there was no possible way to social distance. So if one person in the house gets the virus, everybody in the house gets the virus. If you have regular testing, great nutrition, if your team is largely quarantined from the rest of the environment and the rest of the campus isn't back at that particular time, I can't think of a safer place on earth. Can I train with them, Brent? Think of a safer place for anybody than where they'll be.
Well, this has been made aware of that not only are you testing 18 to 22-year-olds, but the people who are around them are very likely in their late 50s, 60s, maybe some pre-existing conditions. So the testing is going to be incredibly important to be able to do that. I think it's a good move to start school earlier. For instance, Notre Dame starting on August the 10th, which is 2 weeks earlier, and then they will be done with their semester at Thanksgiving. I wish when you and I were in college, we could have been done with everything at Thanksgiving. But unfortunately, we didn't have the virus then, too, either. But the point is, the testing is critical. And again, Mark, not just for the players, but for the staff and the people who deal with them.
100%. Brent, this is – so when are we expecting to hear anything from the ACC, from the Big 12, from the Big 10, from the Pac-12, et cetera? I'm not surprised that the SEC is leading the way on this, but why might we be hearing additional announcements in the next week or so?
Well, there was a tweet out a few minutes ago and I give Adam Rittenberg credit for this. He said, I don't expect a league-wide announcement from the Big 10. Each school may be just determining its own plan for an athlete to come back. But what also just came out, basically as you and I were on the air, is the announcement that the 2020 Big Ten Football Media Days and Kickoff Luncheon, July 22nd through 23rd, will not be held as scheduled in order to ensure health, safety, and wellness of student-athletes, etc. Now, we still have yet to hear anything about SEC Media Days or ACC Media Days, but Mark, are you reading between the lines like I am with this? The way these other conferences are lining up, if you have SEC Media Days this year in July in Atlanta, associated with the College Football Hall of Fame, it very well may be without media and maybe without players, and maybe even somehow have it on the university site for that matter. But I thought that was very significant. No, nothing about going back yet for the Big Ten, but that's the latest from that conference about their media days in football.
There you go. There you go. Brent Beard, Heisman Trophy voter, First Coast News in Jacksonville. Always learn something whenever you have, Brent, and always laugh along the way. Thank you so much, my friend. Please stay safe, okay?
I'm probably going to have to go to my phone store because my phone is beginning to melt again with all these women who could not get in before I got on the air to wish you a happy birthday. So I guess I need to come up with some kind of a reply to them. So whatever you come up with, or maybe your producer or some of your friends or someone else in the building could give me some suggestions that they could text to you, which would be quite a lot of fun.
Sounds great to me, buddy. Love you, brother. Thank you so much. All the best to you, okay?
Bye-bye.
Take care. This man is having a great time at life, man. He's enjoying his Memorial Day weekend Friday. I have no idea what he's talking about. Bunch of girls that want to wish me a happy birthday. Okay. Sounds good to me. What do you make of that, Tim? I mean, he kept going back to that. Where are these collection of women that want to wish me happy birthday, and why haven't I met them already?
I don't know, man. I mean, shoot, can I meet some?
Tim will hook that up. We will hook that up, my brother. We'll hook that up. I just got a very, very interesting email that I will share with you, and I'm going to do that next. This could be something that's groundbreaking. Did you hear me say that I'm interested in potentially starting a campaign to save something this week? I'll tell you what that is coming your way next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. All right, so I received a very interesting email during the commercial break, and I think this is of great interest here in our area. I'm going to leave the name off of this email, especially because I haven't had a chance to respond to it yet. But here is the email nonetheless. Here we go. Mark, I hope all is well. I hear good things about your show from some of my Furman connections. They also tell me you have good things to say about the university. I am a former ball player, class of 2003. We're all gutted about the decision to drop baseball and attempting to come up with a game plan to save the program. In fact, there is a meeting right now with several board members, trustees, and administration to see if there is a window of time or room for negotiating a fundraising campaign to save the program. I don't know if you would be interested in having anyone on as a guest or helping us out via social media. I appreciate any insight you can provide, and go Gators. And this email is coming from a Furman alum who presently lives in Florida. Number one, I can't wait to respond to this. Number two, hell yeah, I want a guest on the show to help promote saving the program. And number three, whatever I can do to help, whatever I can do to help, whatever you need, however you need it, I am here to help you out. I was hoping something like this would happen. You guys heard me say earlier in the week I wanted to start a Save the Furman baseball campaign, Save the Furman baseball team campaign. When I was in Tampa, my station did a Save Rays baseball campaign. And people went nuts with it. It really became viral, local in the community there. Folks, let's do that with Furman baseball. Can we not? But the campaign has to be more than just hooping and hollering and rah-rah stuff. We need to come together to figure out the way to make this happen, right? The financial, there's a difference between having a will and having a way. And I just received this email. They want, evidently it sounds like they would very much like me to spearhead this. And all I can tell you guys is, I'm in, and I'm in completely. Whatever I can do, let's talk. Let's figure this out. Reasonable minds, let's come together. Let's figure out how to bring this baseball team back. It's the second most tenured team of all athletic teams at Furman. They've been playing baseball since 1891. They have a brand new facility, and it just can't be shut down now. There is enough demand. There are enough fans. There are enough people that care deeply about this particular sport for this sport to stay alive and survive. And we need to do what we can to help it. So what do you guys say? Are you with me on this? Shoot me a text, 71307. Shoot me a text. Let me know if you are with me on this, okay? If you are with me to stand for Furman baseball so we can bring that team back, all right? It's really, really important to me. Are you with me, Upstate? 71307 is the text line. What can we do to help bring that program back? Whatever that is, folks, I am in. All right. Coming up next on the show, What is your favorite This Is SportsCenter commercial of all time? We'll tackle that when Offsides continues. Mark and Tim, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark and Tim right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you guys on a Friday edition of the show. So here we go. What is your favorite This Is SportsCenter commercial of all time? What is your favorite This Is SportsCenter commercial of all time? Tim, the floor is yours.
Okay, I have to go with the Manning commercial, where like Peyton and Eli are touring the facility with their family and their dad, Archie. That one I absolutely love.
They're showing that one a lot right now. Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
like,
I have.
That's made a comeback. They're showing that one over and over and over and over again. Folks, we have kicked around doing a This Is SportsCenter commercial of our own here at ESPN Upstate. If you guys have any ideas as for the script, as for the story of that commercial, let me know. It does. What the ideas that have been kicked around do involve mascots, do involve uniforms, etc. But we're kicking around the idea. We are kicking around the idea here at ESPN Upstate. But the best This Is SportsCenter commercial of all time is very easy, and it is not the one that Tim mentioned. It is most definitely outside of the elevator with John Anderson when Albert the Alligator, the Florida Gator, steps outside of the elevator and Steve Irwin, protecting John Anderson, tackles the Florida Gator and he says, "Oh, crocky." That, without question, is the greatest This Is SportsCenter commercial of all time, and only 99% because I went to the University of Florida. All right, only 99% because that is in fact the case. All right, on the line that wants to chime in on this, Tim, we will get to that call, and then we have our senior sports spotlight guest coming your way next. All of that is on the flip side of this break. You are listening to the most interactive sports radio show in the state of South Carolina. Great to be here with you. We are Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.